Welcome to the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus with Brother Melvin Slade on KRAJ 100.9 FM. It is a great privilege to once again be with you to share from God's Holy Word. In Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse 39, it reads, "When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach unto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go their anchors and let them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rubber ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the bow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them would swim away and escape. But the centurions, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was, they all escaped safely to land." That was reading from the New King James Version of Holy Scripture. What do you do when you're shipwrecked? Glory to God, my beloved listeners. We have made it to see another month of this new year. God's been good to us. Last year is now history. 2012 is behind us. The failures or success of last year has gone by. We have now launched into the third month of another year. And we say, thank you, Lord. This year, the year of 2013, will hold new challenges, new concern. But let me tell you, the same God, the same Lord who saw us through 2012 is quite capable to see us through the rest of this year. The Psalm, because Psalms 91, 9 through 11, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways." Many, if not all of us, have blessed testimonies, even from the beginning of January to the month of March. The Lord, hallelujah, has had his angels in charge of us, and all our ways were kept by the Lord. Now, as we look back at the beginning of this year, I liken it to us boarding our own individual ships in our way to the new ship of 2014. We have left the battered ship, hey, of 2012 and have now boarded the brand new ship called 2013. As we boarded this ship called 2013, we did so with many hopes and trust that this year will provide for us smoother sailing. Hallelujah, somebody. Smoother sailings, not like the sailings of yesterday, but smoother sailing. And we recognize that the sea will not become so tempest, and our sails will not be blown apart by negative winds. Our prayers and belief is that we will enjoy smooth sailing on this year's sea in our 2013 ship. But as we all know, life can hold for us some unforeseen situation. The sea can be calm and smooth for a minute, and without warning become rough and rugged the next. Whenever your ship encounters a vicious storm, shallow water, or strong winds, there is a possibility your ship may wreck. So the question that I present to us today is, what do you do when your ship wrecks? Since we are figuratively using 2013 as our ship, the question is, what do we do if down the road and we discover that our 2013 ship wrecks? Well, I want to present four things. First of all, be assured God has blessed invaluable assistance on board. Secondly, put to use positive learned discipline. Thirdly, take advantage of available resources. And finally, don't ignore bits and pieces. All right, be assured that God has placed invaluable assistance on board. The text before us involves Paul's journey to Rome. He had, according to Acts 21, 27 through 26, I mean 36, he had been arrested in Jerusalem because of violent opposition. This opposition came from unbelieving Jews. These were Jews from the province of Asia. This was a place where Paul had experienced great success with the gospel. A riot was instigated by these men who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They recognized Paul, their old nemesis. in the temple, and they incited a whole crowd and seized him. They brought false charges against him, and in leading up to our text, the apostle had been before the Sanhedrin court. There was a plot to kill him, and the apostle managed to escape. He fled to Caesarea. From chapter 23 to 27, he sets up Paul's voyage to Rome. The apostle knew no matter what he was going to get, no matter what happens, he was going to get to Rome, because the Lord Jesus told him so. And we can believe what the Lord says. I said we can believe what the Lord says. But according to Acts 23 and 11, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." Knowing what God had promised him, we recognize that what God says is important in our understanding of what to do when our ship wrecked. Paul knew no matter what he encountered on his way to Rome, the Lord Jesus had already promised he would get there. I want you to know, when we launch out into the sea of 2013, it is important that we ask God to give us some onboard situation, to give us a way to handle every circumstances. God will give us someone that can render unto us assistance. Everybody travel along this sea of life. And I know somebody out there can say amen. In Paul's case, God had placed invaluable assistance in his life before his voyage to Rome. Acts 27 and 1 says, "And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a man named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment." Jesus had told Paul that he would get to Rome, and he placed in his life someone to give invaluable assistance to get him there. His name was Julius. Julius belonged to the Imperial Regiment, an honorary title given to certain troops. Even though this centurion's job was to guard and make sure these prisoners made it to their destination safely, God is going to use Julius in a supernatural way to assist his servant Paul. So entering a ship of Adramit Diam, we put to sea, according to Acts 27, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, the best ruler, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, with Julius treated kindly and gave him, meaning Paul, liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Already Julius is proven to be an invaluable blessing to the apostle, a prisoner, yet given freedom to journey into town and visit his friend. If we don't heed warning signs, we can find ourselves in rough waters. Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 12. It says, "Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, 'Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owners of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter, in the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there." In verses 13 through 42, it tells of the process that led to the shipwrecking and what was done when the ship wrecked. But be assured, God had placed invaluable assistance on board. The ship had wrecked, but thank God there was invaluable assistance on board. The Bible says in verse 41, "But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the bow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept him from their purpose." Hallelujah. The Lord had put the centurion in Paul's life that he might save him from death. God used the guard as Paul's way of escape. The Bible said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation would also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." When your shipwrecked, put to use positive learned discipline. The word of God says, "And commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land." The word of God is what we need to learn if we're going to swim after our ship has run aground. The Christian knows that the word of God will be able to help them swim their way back to the shores of life. The psalmist said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Oh, my brothers and sisters, I invite you today, if your ship is wrecked, come to Jesus. Come to the one that can save you from a wrecked life. No matter what it might be, he's able, hallelujah, to bring you victory after victory after victory. I want to invite you to a 10-hour service where you will hear these messages preached in its entirety. The Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, 12928 Vaughn Street, San Fernando, California, located in the beautiful Northeast San Fernando Valley. Oh, I thank God for Brother Melvin Slade, who's a member of our worshiping community. He's doing a wonderful job getting the gospel out over the airways. And I hope you support this ministry. But we thank God for this man of God. We thank God for you. And we certainly want you, my wife, Pastor Gloria, Prophetess Gloria Embrados, and I and the officials of Calvary, we welcome you to come and be part of our services. God bless you, and God keep you is our prayer.